Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
From KQED.
Hey guys, from KQED Public Radio, this is Political Breakdown. I'm Marisa Lagos, reporting on politics around here at KQED.
Politics? What's that? I'm Scott Schaefer, KQED's senior politics editor. Today on The Breakdown, the final interview in our series with San Francisco mayoral candidates. Today, the one and only Angela Alioto.
Angela is a civil rights attorney, a former city supervisor, the daughter of San Francisco Mayor Joe Alioto. I think she has 10 grandkids.
No.
Which is impressive. No?
We'll find out.
Five. This is her fourth run for mayor.
Yep. And she also calls herself the heart of San Francisco.
She says third.
Third?
She says third.
All right, we'll get there. All right, we'll get there. But first, what are we going to talk about first?
Well, I think we have to start in Sacramento. Assemblywoman Christina Garcia, who has been kind of on ice for several months as she is investigated, the first woman investigated for sexual harassment allegations.
Part of the Me Too movement.
And yeah, she was. And then she got accused of groping a former staffer. She was mostly cleared today, on Thursday, of the sexual harassment allegations. She was found to have used vulgar language, used staff to run errands, disparaged members. And the speaker took her off for committee assignments.
Issued a statement. And I have to say, though, that if every legislator who ever used vulgar language was suspended from all the committees, they wouldn't have a quorum, I think, for most committee hearings.
True. I mean, to me, the bigger thing here, this has become this very nasty episode. She represents Bell Gardens down in L.A., a low-income area. She's been very upfront, not just on the Me Too stuff, but around climate change and that stuff. And this has been a very bizarre last few months as she was investigated. It took a very long time, months. There's a lot of questions, not just around this investigation, but around the process generally. And now she's facing a very tough re-election because some of the political foes she had made have seized on this.
And they've got the money.
Building trades, yeah, and have really been going after her. So I don't know, what do you think? Like, do you think that this, like, does she come back and get welcomed in the Capitol?
I don't think the short answer to that is no. I don't think that it's a very sympathetic situation, you know, if you're her colleagues. Plus, she told our John Sepulveda that she'd referred to the former speaker, John Perez, as a homo, not going to endear her with the LGBT caucus, among others. So, no, I don't think she's going to be welcomed back.
Well, something weird. A few weeks ago, we saw, like, the Democratic Party had put $25,000 or something into her campaign. They said it was around polling. But then today, obviously, I said the speaker kind of came out and had some pretty harsh words for her. But yeah, I do think that the thing that will continue playing out, whether or not she can keep this seat, is this question of process. And are, you know, after this sort of bombshell of allegations that sort of dripped out late last year, do they come up with a process, which the speaker says they're working on, that does feel fair to people on all sides?
Yeah, because this was one investigation. There are different law firms that they've got investigating these various things. They've got to figure out one process for both bodies, and I think they're going to try to do that. Let's transition quickly to a little meeting at the White House yesterday with the president, Donald Trump, and some local officials, about 20 Republicans from around California. The DA from Lassen County was there, the sheriff from Fresno, mayors from towns like Los Alamitos, and they were there to talk about sanctuary state.
What do they all have in common, Scott?
Well, they all don't like the sanctuary state law, and they were there to get briefed by the attorney general and the president and others in the administration. Clearly, they are thinking this is a good issue for them in the upcoming midterm elections, and they might be right in some of those districts down in Orange County, maybe San Diego. You know, that said, this is not an issue that's going to help the Republicans statewide, and I'm not saying that's what they're trying to do here. They're really, with Kevin McCarthy in that meeting, clearly they want to hold on to the majority in the House.
Right.
And they think this is their ticket to that.
Like, let's call a spade a spade. This was political theater. I mean, you don't have a meeting and then Facebook Live it if you you're trying to get to something here.
Yeah.
So I think that this was an opportunity, right, for a lot of these local officials who have come out and either passed ordinances or announced that they to oppose Sanctuary City or announced that they're joining lawsuits against the state with the Trump administration.
It's sort of the resistance to the resistance.
Yeah. I mean, the president, I thought, was interesting to watch. He did not...
not a good listener.
No. He seemed more interested in what he wanted to say. And, you know, and I think he gave the left, who is supporting these policies, some openings, because he said some really sort of out there things about these people are animals and, you know, like very attacking of immigrants.
He was referring to the MS-13 gang members, but I think if you weren't paying super close attention, it could be conflated with all immigrants or all people crossing the border. And, you know, that could be a problem. You know, that said, this issue of sanctuary city, sanctuary state, it is not like DACA or the Dreamers, where there's great support, bipartisan support for those kids, or opposition to the wall, which is very, you know, that's a clear loser for the president. But this one's a little more nuanced. It's more split down the middle.
It is. And I would say I've covered this issue for a long time. Some of that is because of misunderstandings of what it is. Some of it is because of, I think, like you're saying, the political expediency on both sides of using this. And I know that we want to talk to Angela Alioto about this.
We do. And we will shortly. I do think that it's tricky, though, for the Democrats in that. Because it's so complicated,
right.
It's much easier to say what the Republicans are saying than it is to explain what the policy is and what the exceptions
right.
are and all those
Well, the
things.
Animal comment was in response to the Fresno sheriff saying, if there's an MS-13 member I know is a member in my jail and I can't deport them. And I mean, I would also ask, well, why wouldn't you prosecute that person if they're sitting in jail for a crime and they're a gang member? That seems like, you know, so it is a complicated issue, and one that I think, I mean, to me, what's more interesting as a political reporter are the politics, you know, seeing Jerry Brown, who, as you noted in some of your reporting, really worked hard to carve out exceptions to this because he had concerns with some of these things, to say, you know, state prisons aren't part of the sanctuary policy. So a prisoner who's an undocumented immigrant would get turned over to ICE. But he has really, over the last several months, engaged Trump more, I would say. And the tone of his comments have become very different. And so there was a little Brown was attacked by Trump and he hit back.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary the extent to which a president of the United States is going after a state and trying to divide the people in the state and use it as a foil to win elections, not just in California, but perhaps in other parts of the country.
And to go after a governor who, by California standards, has actually been fairly moderate on some
all
things.
The nuance gets lost.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we
it's
should
time.
Move on.
It's
yeah.
time.
Coming up next, we will be joined by San Francisco mayoral candidate Angela Alioto. You are listening to Political Breakdown from KQED Public Radio.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
And welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Scott Schaefer, along with Marisa Lagos. And here with us in the studio, Angela Alioto. She is a San Francisco native, the mother of four kids, a successful civil rights lawyer, and she's running for mayor of San Francisco, a job her father, Joe Alioto, had in the late 60s and
Till 77.
Yeah. Welcome to Political Breakdown.
Thank you all very much. It's fun to be here.
It's fun. And, you know, I got to say, we've done, almost 5-6 months of shows, and researching your story, I mean, you have such a remarkable life story. It's actually just been fun getting ready for this.
What were you? We
know you're born here.
We've developed this first question. We always say, "Well, where were you born?" We know where you were born, but what you were the only girl in a family with five boys, right?
Right. I'm number five. Anyone would ask me, "What are my brothers' names?" I go, "Lawrence, Joe, John, Tom, Mike." Like it's all one
like
name.
It's all one name.
What was it like being the only girl?
I was the apple of my dad's eye. Totally spoiled. Totally spoiled. And also, I was extremely competitive in every sport. I could beat them all. The only thing I didn't play with my brothers was golf.
What sports did you play?
Basketball.
Basketball?
Oh, absolutely. I was captain of the basketball team at the Common of the Sacred Heart. Very competitive.
What position did you play?
I was captain. I was front. So, you know, I'm little. I'm short.
But you're fast.
No, but I got a great hook shot. Great hook shot. You know, it's fun. Bozy, what was that kid's name that used to run up the middle of the court? He was like 5 foot tall.
No idea.
Muggsy Bowles.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lost on me.
So your dad didn't become mayor until you were already married and out of the house, I believe.
Right. Or, No. Dad became mayor when I was 17.
Okay.
But you
I did get married at 18, my daughter at 19 and a son at 21 and a son at 23 and a son at 24.
Wow.
So I have four kids. Within 5.5 years.
That's great. Well, tell us, I mean, I want to know, though, like, what it was like at the time you grew up in San Francisco. It sounds like you guys had a house here. You were in Los Gatos in the summers.
Right.
You went to Italy.
Right.
But, like, what was the city like as a kid?
I didn't go to Italy until I was 15 years old.
Okay.
So we would live in, you know, we were in Los Gatos during the summers and during the winters. You know, all my brothers went to St. Vincent de Paul and then to SI. I went to the Common of the Sacred Heart. I was separated out when it comes to education because he wanted the madams of the Sacred Heart to keep an eye on me.
How'd that go?
My dad. Oh, I was always sneaking out. You know, I was always getting in trouble. My mom and dad went to Europe, and I was spending. I was sleeping at the convent of the Sacred Heart.
We heard. You know, we were doing some research on you,
oh, yeah.
And we heard that you were, I think, suspended from Sacred Heart for quote unquote staring at the nuns.
Yeah, what does that even mean? Like just looking at them?
Yeah, I have no idea. But they actually called my father in Europe on that. And his response,
that was when he was in Europe.
Yeah, when they were in Europe. And his response was, "What? Why don't you just stare back? What is the problem?"
So it sounds like he knew how to deal with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he absolutely knew how to deal with me and anybody who would, you know, criticize me or try to suspend me from school or, you know.
And what about your mom?
My mom was from Big D, from Dallas, Texas. And so it was very different, mom and dad. Like, I'll never forget when I was a kid, my dad got me a car. I'd been driving since I was 12, okay? Used to drive around and around and around Presidio Terrace.
What
my
were you driving?
Dad talked about that as a kid in San Francisco, too. They would just steal the cars, like, at age 12.
No, I was putting the car in the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
He was three hours later.
So my impression was your mom was not thrilled with your dad being in public life.
She hated it. Oh, no, she hated it. Scott, he wasn't home anymore. I hated it. He wasn't home anymore. We would have dinner at 6 o'clock every night, all my brothers and mom and dad, and dad was gone. Once he became mayor of San Francisco, he was gone.
And then he was running for governor.
And then he ran for governor in 74, and I was on that campaign, so I got more involved politically on that campaign. I got involved in his campaigns, but you have to remember, tumultuous years. We had Zebra, SLA, Patty Hearst,
Jonestown.
Candy Bummers. No, Jonestown
was
later.
That was later.
But Candy Bummers blew off the front of our home. They would put bombs in the See's candy boxes. So my mother was totally disenchanted.
So we, you know, in doing the research before you came today, we came across, and I've lived in the city 37 years. I did not know your mom went missing for 18
during the
days.
Famous.
We found the old Chronicle articles. It was crazy.
Aren't those gorgeous photographs of her?
Oh, yeah.
At that press conference in that black dress with the turquoise necklace?
Yeah, the yeah. They call it Navajo turquoise necklace.
Yeah, turquoise Navajo.
She just took off? I mean, what happened?
What happened was he was running for mayor, and we'd all flown down to Fresno, and we were in these little planes.
Mayor or governor?
Excuse me, governor.
Yeah.
And we all flown down to Fresno, and mom didn't like the little planes, neither did I, because once dad's two bodyguards got in the plane, it was tipping already. So, you know, not places we wanted to go. And so we go down, we do this whole thing for his dinner, and Joe Campanella was his chairperson, as was Angelina Jolie's father. That's why she's named Angelina after my mother. What's
John
his name?
Voight?
John Voight.
Yeah.
Right. They were the co-chairs for the state of California with Frankie Sinatra Jr. So we go to this big gala. We go to this big gala, right? And dad forgets to introduce mom. So she gets up to go to the bathroom and doesn't return.
Wow.
Yeah.
For 18 days.
Oh, it wasn't funny, though. We all thought
she was
dead.
Well, yeah, what did you think?
It was terrible.
Because this was during, like, the zebra killings and other...
It was terrible.
Like you said... You know, the bombing. And
I have to admit, there was one scene that makes me laugh every so often. Dad and I spent one afternoon going through all the plastic surgeons in the state of California. Now,
you
nobody knows that.
I love that you remember what she wore to the press conference.
Oh, of course. I'll never forget her walking in the room, and neither could the press. They were aghast. They would go, whoa. My mother was beautiful. And she had very blonde hair. And she had on this long black outfit with the Navajo squash turquoise. And, I mean, you know, movie time.
What did you learn from your dad about politics?
I think I learned so much from my dad that's integrated both in life and politics and law. When I'm doing my closing arguments, sometimes I feel like he's
channeling
right.
him.
It's very weird. Very, very weird. But as far
he was
as,
a lawyer before.
Oh, he's a very famous civil antitrust lawyer. Right. The Clayton Act created some of the antitrust laws in the state of California and federally. But I learned a lot about coalition building. Coalition building, coalition building. That's what we're missing. We don't have coalitions today. And he was great at that. His Model Cities program, bring it back. Bring Model Cities back with my homeless program and solve so many problems.
Your dad was, he was a great personality. He
right.
was a glad hander. He was, he lit up a room. Was that just a natural thing that you've inherited from him? Because, you cut quite a big swath when you walk in as well.
Well, I'm little. He was big. He was big. But Dad was extremely charismatic. He lit up any room we went into. Well, I mean, plus, at home we would call him Bouncing Joe. He couldn't walk down the stairs, and neither can my son Joe. They have to run down the stairs, right? So there's something to that aura of, charisma and energy. I certainly have my father's energy.
He didn't want you to go into politics, though, did he?
He did.
Oh, he wanted you to.
I didn't.
I thought it was the other way around.
We were reading old clips saying he didn't support the campaign for supervisor the first time, but then he came around.
No.
Okay.
I'm the one that I
fake news.
No, fake news. I couldn't. I'm going to tell you guys the truth because this is kind of a fun program versus all the kind of stilted, why are you running for
how are you going to solve homelessness?
In 1 minute.
We'll give you one minute at the end to answer
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I kept flunking the California bar exam. I kept flunking
six
it.
Six times, I think?
Oh,
five,
I would never say. I would never say how many. I have no idea how many.
It was six.
You know what boggles my mind is that I kept going back.
Well, why did you go back?
Because I'm so persistent. That's one thing about me. I'm running for mayor again.
I know.
I'm so persistent. And if I don't win a trial, I will go to the Supreme Court of the United States because I'm a believer. And being a believer, you put all your energy and passion into it. So finally, I said, what the heck? Dad wanted me to meet with the Chamber of Commerce, which is kind of ironic today. And so he had a party at his house with the Chamber of Commerce. And then that December, I passed the bar. It's like, oh, my God.
Finally.
I passed the bar. But I ran for office in 86 and lost and came back in 82 with a very strong showing of number two.
88. No, it wasn't 88.
What did I just say?
82.
No, my God. 82. No. 88.
Yeah.
So did you not practice law until later then?
No. Okay. I never practiced law until I left City Hall.
Until 97
well,
when you started your firm.
Well, practice, as in I'm a trial lawyer. There are only 5% of lawyers are trial lawyers. It's no joke when you say practicing.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Got to say for our listeners who are just joining us,
yes.
We're talking to Angela Alioto, who is running for mayor of San Francisco,
right.
Served on the San Francisco Board of Soups as well. And let's talk about the mayor's race.
Okay.
Do we have to? Because this is so fun to talk about.
Well,
we
got to ask you about the sanctuary city stuff because you helped write the original law back in the 91, right?
I had the hearings in 89, passed it in 91, amended it in 94 to exclude felons.
And so now it comes out that you are going to circulate a petition to collect signatures to put it on the ballot to get rid of it.
No. Get rid of it.
Sanctuary city.
I'm a sanctuary city. I wrote the law.
So what exactly are you going to do?
I'm Campos and Avalos in 2013.
Former supervisors.
Right. In 2013 and 2016 added dangerous felons to the protection of the sanctuary law. That was to me. They came to me. David Campos came to me. We were with Bob Pritikin, and he wanted my support. And I said, absolutely not. The sanctuary law is almost precious when it comes to sheltering and protecting families and sheltering and protecting hardworking people. I'm not going to let you add. I would not support you putting back in felons.
So you just want to take that part out.
I'm taking out dangerous felons.
And you know why they did that, though, right? Because under Obama, they started this program where ICE was sort of going into jails and working more closely. I mean, things that hadn't happened before. So are you proposing that people who are convicted of felonies or just accused of felonies?
No. You can't be accused. You have to have due process. So after you've had due process, if you've been convicted or if you're being booked and they find out you have convictions, then SFPD or
sheriff.
Yeah, or the sheriff or the the DA can let INS
why
know.
Do this in this campaign? It seems like, as we talked about broadly, there are some split opinions about this. But in San Francisco, this has been a pretty popular policy.
Do you know how many people have absolutely no idea that felons are included in the sanctuary law? It isn't popular with felons in it. People have no idea. If you could see the postings and the letters.
But you were on Fox News this week with Tucker Carlson, and you made it sound like the city is proactively protecting people who have done serious crimes against kids. I mean, are you concerned that you are being used by either Fox News or the Trump agenda? I mean, it sounds very much like that.
Scott, I got to tell you, nobody uses me, which is why I get so much opposition in running for mayor. You know as well as anybody, I'm my own person. I'm independent. Nobody uses me. I have been talking about this on the campaign trail for five months at almost, I would say, every other debate, the sanctuary law having felons in it. But I have been on this since 2016, since it was amended and included domestic violence. Okay, it's so not what the spirit of it was when we created it in 91. After hearing, when all those poor people were the SFPD called the INS at the time and got them deported, and we had all their children in the Mission District to care for. It was horrible. It was a heartbreaker. That's why I created the law. I did not create the law to shelter felons, dangerous, serious felons.
I think we can move on, but I'm curious because I think what I've heard covering this story are concerns from people that, somebody gets picked up on a charge, whatever it is now, they go to jail, maybe they had a criminal history in their past, and then they're deported and separated from their family.
Well, there's no maybe. If they had a former dangerous felony, they get, it's not that they get deported, because who says that the INS or ICE does their job? It's that they get the SFPD or the Sheriff's Department tells ICE that they're undocumented if they have prior dangerous felonies.
I want to ask about your sort of platform as you're running for mayor. You seem to be hearkening back to a time when there was less crime. You say that the city is losing its soul.
Right.
You're worried about the changes in the city. And, I'm wondering, what does that mean exactly? Because sometimes it seems like you want to go back to the 50s.
50s? I wasn't, not the 50s. I don't know the 50s. I only know the 50s from Lucille Ball. Okay? Give me a break. 50s.
Well, and also, though, we were reading some of these old clips of the years when you ran against Agnes for mayor. Some of the same issues were being talked about then, right? Homelessness,
everything
streets.
Is the
it's
same.
Like there's nothing new under
everything
the sun here.
Everything is the same. And Art was a very, very good friend of mine. That was one of the toughest things I ever did, and it was because of the closure of Mount Zion Crisis Clinic, which is the exact same issue we have today. We do not have a 24-hour crisis clinic for people who panic at 4 o'clock in the morning. We still don't have it. That was a phenomenal program with pro bono doctors from UCSF for $143,000.
So I need to say, of course, I worked for Agnos. Well, I know that. Put that out there, right? I remember the 91.
And I love Art Agnos. It's been very painful for me for many years.
But running against him, we ended up with Frank Jordan, former police chief. Did you have any regrets about that?
I did not endorse Jordan in the runoff.
But he got elected.
He got elected. Do I have regrets? No. Absolutely not. You know, here's the problem. People get into office and they totally change. I campaigned for Art, literally. We got all sorts of support behind Art because, of course, he was an assemblyman. He was from Boston, and not a lot of people knew him. Dad and I, literally, especially my dad.
Your dad endorsed
were all over town. That was my meeting at Enrico's on Broadway. I'll never forget it. But having said that, do I regret it? No. See, I really am so passionate about San Francisco that what's good for San Francisco is good for me.
Where do you, given that, and I mean, we talked about sanctuary, but you were ahead of your time on a lot of other things that are now commonplace. The smoking ban, medical marijuana, the needle exchange that we're still
abused
talking about
today.
Now.
Right.
where do you see yourself on the political spectrum?
Well, that's really funny you should say that, because for my entire career, I've been called a raving liberal. Now I'm being called a fascist and a Nazi. And at these and
which
political
is it?
Discourse
and
that, is great here.
That's been really disappointing to me. I'm shocked at the way elected officials, I'm shocked at that press conference they had Tuesday. All of those elected officials, from the DA to the mayor of the city to the supervisors, standing on iconic stairs where Martin Luther King stood, where John Kennedy stood, iconic stairs, denouncing me. It's like
over a sanctuary.
I was like, yes, like what is going on here? It was totally crazy. And then hearing these names. So at the debate, I have said many times, would you stop calling me left, right? Call me a San Franciscan. Just flat out call me a San
Have you gotten more conservative? Do you think you've gotten more conservative?
I think that I've gotten more conservative than I was in the early 90s on law enforcement issues, not on social issues.
And the police endorsed you.
But the police have always endorsed me, Scott. They've always endorsed me. So I've gotten more law enforcement-y in my, I have to admit, I guess it's 4 kids, 5 grandchildren. I'm the only candidate in this running for office that has children. I think that makes a big difference, because I think of things like, you know, everybody's upset about the Warriors. I said, hey, hold the phone. The San Francisco Warriors were San Francisco Warriors before they were Golden State. It's fantastic we have the Warriors. You have to remember, kids after school need sports. Sports are essential. And that's the children's budget that I bifurcated when I was board president. But my point is, I do not like being called a Nazi and a fascist, and I'm I'm not outraged. I feel sorry for them that they would think that without calling me. I've known these people 30 years.
So we've gotten really serious here, but
I don't
want to
get serious.
I do want to know.
Let's go back to my mother.
We only have a couple of minutes. Yeah, right. Angelina, man.
Angelina, what a
she was. Yeah, we could do a whole show on her. But I do want to know. Like you said, you have 4 kids, 5 grandkids. Yeah. You have a very successful law firm. We haven't even talked about her law practice.
Right.
I mean, you won some insane judgments in your first
verdicts.
Few years. What do you do for fun? Do you ever not work?
My horse.
Your horse.
After 44 years.
Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, talk about that.
After 44 years, I bought a beautiful Arabian stallion. And I...
Did you bring it tonight?
I didn't.
He's
actually really upset with me. I haven't seen him in a while. His name is Om El Salman. But I had videos put in, so I know what he's doing. I check on him 3 or 4 times a day.
Where is he?
He's in Sonoma.
Okay.
What does that name mean?
Om El Salman. Om El means mother of. So you can say mother of Saudi Arabia or mother of Egypt. Om El Arab. Om El, mother of. So it's mother of Salman. Om El is in front of the first name of all of the Arabic names from the breeding stable. He comes from one of the most breeding stables in the world.
So do you ride him?
You go riding around Sonoma?
I started riding him until I started running for mayor, because he's very, very spirited. I did have him gelded. It would have been impossible otherwise. But I started riding in December, and then this happened.
No, then it ruined your life.
It didn't ruin my life. This has been an experience anybody could write about. And as my father always said, running for mayor of San Francisco is like a 4-year liberal arts education. And it is. And it is. But it's a different San Francisco. This is a different mayor.
You worried about the city?
I'm very worried about the city.
All right. I think we have to leave
it
there.
We got
to
wrap it up. Time flies.
No,
I know.
Do this for hours.
We'll have you back when you're mayor.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this edition of Political Breakdown. And for more elections coverage, please check out KQED's brand new elections page with profiles of our governor candidates. That's at kqed.org/elections.
And hey, how about a special shout out today to the stations around the state who are now airing Political Breakdown, including KZYX in Mendocino, KAZU on the Central Coast.
And don't forget KVCR in San Bernardino, where my husband's from, and Riverside, and KBUU in Malibu. I think we need a road show.
Yeah. Malibu first?
Yeah.
All right. Katie Orr is our Sacramento reporter. Our producer is Guy Marzorati. Our engineer is Seal Mahler. Ethan Lindsay is our managing editor. Holly Kernan is our vice president of news.
You're Scott Schaefer.
Oh, yeah. I always screw that part up. I'm Scott Schaefer. Follow me at Twitter. I'm at Scott Schaefer.
I'm Marisa Lagos. You can find me at MLagos. That's a wrap for this week's Political Breakdown from KQED. We will hopefully see you next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.